Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We will go to your calls live in just a few moments. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically translates to 888-275-4265. But I want to start the broadcast today with just a few remarks about abortion. I know that many are suffering from what is commonly called fetus fatigue. And so the abortion issue no longer resonates very well. But it should. Today, January 22nd, marks the 42nd anniversary of a Supreme Court decision that has taken the lives of quite literally millions. In fact, since 1973, more than 57 million babies have been aborted in the United States of America alone. Think about this ghastly statistic. 21% of all pregnancies end in abortion. 1 in 10 women will have an abortion by age 20. 1 in 4 by age 30. 3 in 10 by age 45. And according to the most recent annual report of Planned Parenthood that I personally looked at, they proudly communicate an increase in the number of abortions that they have performed. And suppose that this is something that we mourn. The tragedy still would be great. But somehow or other, rather than mourning this tragedy, millions seem to be applauding. Think about our president. The first sitting president to address Planned Parenthood, closing his speech to America's largest abortion provider with the words, "Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you." This despite the scientific reality that the beginning of life is no longer a question for theological or philosophical dispute. It's an established scientific fact. Cultural icons may continue to debate the meaning or the purpose of life, but it is an established fact that all life, including human life, begins at the moment of conception. And since science has demonstrated that a preborn child is human in all stages of its existence, and that human beings have transcendent value, it follows logically that the taking of a life, and not just any life, the taking of the life of an innocent human being through abortion is unthinkable. But to thank Planned Parenthood and ask God to bless their painful killing of innocent human beings is beyond comprehension. We mourn the death of 12 people who die at the hands of terrorists. And we has perhaps been anesthetized to the fact that 60 million worldwide last year were sacrificed on the altar of abortion. And when I say that abortion is the painful killing of an innocent human being, there's no hyperbole there. Why do I say it's painful? Quite frankly, because the methods that are employed to kill a preborn child involve burning, smothering, dismembering, and crushing. Why the word killing? It is because the zygote fulfills the criteria needed to establish the existence of biological life. To accept the fact that after fertilization has taken place, a new human has come into being is no longer a matter of taste or opinion. The human nature of the human being from conception to old age is not a metaphysical contention. It is plain old experimental evidence. In Woman and the New Race, Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger tacitly acknowledged the fact of killing when she wrote, "The most merciful thing a large family can do for one of its infant members is kill it." That's a direct quote. So it's the painful killing of innocent human beings. Why do I say human being? Again, it is because the child who is terminated is the product of human parents, has a totally distinct human genetic code, and although the emerging embryo does not have a fully developed personality, it does have complete personhood from the moment of conception. And thus, far from deserving capital punishment, these innocent human beings deserve care and protection. Well, thankfully, in God's economy, there is hope for those who have experienced the ravages of abortion. Not only can they receive God's forgiveness in the here and now, but they can yet look forward to the ecstasy of reuniting with their unborn loved ones in eternity. I think of the words, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body." Never forget that when a woman gives birth, she doesn't just give birth to a body. She gives birth to a body-soul unity. We mourn today. We mourn the deaths of millions and the apathy of a Christian world that has its altars, its churches, its Bibles, and tragically is at ease when the world perishes. Please understand that when I talk about abortion, I'm not talking about a issue. The issue of life is foundational to all of civilization, nothing more foundational. than that issue. It is the watershed issue of our day. And heresy, abortion, perversion advances only as orthodoxy retreats. The nonsense of scientific celebrities, scientific I use very broadly, advances only as unthinking and unequipped Christians retreat under secularism's relentless advance. It's one of the reasons that I have been so strident, as it were, so insistent, perhaps is a better word, in seeking to find resources that I can put into your hands so that you will grasp the true meaning of what it means to be a privileged species, imbued with the imago Dei, the very image of God, living in a cosmos designed for your human existence, for the development of all of your skills. And again, we've talked about the documentary film, Privileged Species, and why this is so important. Let me just remind you now that it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our outreaches around the world, because life and truth matter. Check it out on the web, equip.org. Write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just talk to one of our resource consultants, the number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. And I thank everyone that has stood with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth, because it really does matter. Because without you, the awareness that I have brought just in the last few moments would not have been available. A lot of you hanging on. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up, Doug in Pennsylvania, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Doug.
Hank, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, that was pretty emotional. I just want to say I respect you. I turn channel 131 on at 6 o'clock now because you're on there. So I've recently given my life to Christ, and I'm pretty gung-ho about God right now. I'm in the infancy stage of the Bible. I don't know much about it. I've never read it. And my father died about 4 years ago, and I like to think that he's in heaven right now, because when I talk to God, I talk to my dad, but I'm just not sure. And my general question is, what happens to us when we die? And I'm going to listen off the air because I can't hear that great on this phone. So I want to thank you for your answer and your time.
Thanks, Doug. And yeah, you know, Jesus probably communicated the answer to that question more eloquently in Luke chapter 16 than it's been communicated anywhere else. You know, he told a story of two people, one a beggar, the other a rich man. Now, there's nothing wrong with riches. It's a matter of the heart. But in this case, the rich man didn't care about the beggar. He was caressed by purple and linen. He avoided the beggar. He had everything the life here and now, in a worldly sense, had to offer, but no relationship with God. And so when he died, he found himself in torment, away from the goodness and grace of God. But the beggar lying by his gate, covered with sores, dogs licking his wounds, that beggar, the Bible says, in the words of Jesus, carried by angels to Abraham's bosom to be comforted there. So the reality is this, that when we die as participants in the kingdom, we are comforted in the presence of God. When we die, absent that, we are in torment. But all of that is an earnest of what is to come when Christ appears a second time. It made plain that all who are in the graves will come out, some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. Those who are condemned are not condemned capriciously. It's because that's what they wanted. God does not rub out the crowning jewels of His creation, even if they decide to live apart from Him for all eternity. He continues to sustain them through His grace, but apart from His goodness, His glory, and that grace. Written about this in Afterlife, the book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Doug, keep growing. That's the goal. We'll be right back with more answers.
Steven Weinberg, a Nobel laureate, high-energy physicist, and avowed skeptic, has commented, "Life as we know it would be impossible if any one of several physical quantities had slightly different values. Far from being insignificant, the scientific evidence suggests that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is clearly explained in the new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life." To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Well, far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation, The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip, www.theanswerman.org. Ten raised to the power of 120 is an incomprehensibly large number. That's the number one followed by 120 zeros. In fact, that number is vastly greater than the total number of atoms in the entire universe. But remarkably, if the energy of the Big Bang were different by just one part in 10 to the 120th power, life would not exist in the universe. The new documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, presents scientific discoveries pointing to an ultra-fine-tuned universe that is the handiwork of a super intellect. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to invest in the work of CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. And back to the phone callers. Next up is Dennis. He's listening in South Dakota on Bot Radio. Hi, Dennis.
Well, hello there, Hank. This is Dennis from Vermilion, South Dakota.
Good to talk to you.
I want to thank you for all of your great words and wisdom, the way that God has bestowed upon you knowledge that most of us don't get. You have taught me how to study the Bible at a much, much deeper level and find those pearls of wisdom that are in there for those who seek them out. Hmm. Well, today is one I want to try to give you back, bless you, just a tad bit, the way you have blessed me for years and years.
Hmm.
I was listening to you talking about abortion, and as horrible and as despicable as it is, the idea of us ever being able to stop it is probably not really strong to start with. But going back in the early 60s, I don't remember, 62 or 64, I was just a really little shaver then. But that was the time that our government decided that you could no longer teach religion in public schools. And that was listed as one of the great downfalls of our society. Well, it's still true today. You can't teach religion in school. But and this is how awesome I think God really is. We can't teach religion, and we can't deny Darwin's theory because so many people think that his theory is the truth. But now there's a new group of scientists that are coming up with a new answer, the intelligent design. And the reason why I give you that word there, who is or what is the intelligent design? We're only a step and a half away now from bringing God back to our lives, making him real in our day-to-day life. We made it to the intelligent design. Now we just have to put that name to it. So I take that as a positive, growing piece of us finding our way. And when I look at the abortion side, I don't know how God's going to do it. But I know he will. And I know that possibly within our lifetime, however it's going to happen, that we're going to see another miracle occur in there in which God does away with all of that.
Well, comment on what you're saying. Yeah. We have limited time, and I do very much appreciate your perspective. But, you know, this begs another question. How could a good God create a world in which things go so desperately wrong? And at first blush, it seems as though there are as many responses to that question as there are religions. But in reality, there are only three. There's pantheism, which denies the existence of good and evil because God is all and all is God. There's philosophical naturalism that supposes that everything is a function of natural processes such as brain chemistry and genetics, and therefore there is, in this system of thought, no good and no evil. And there's a third response, and that is theism, and it alone has a relevant response. Because Christian theism acknowledges that God created the potential for evil because he created humans with freedom of choice. We choose to love or to hate, to do good or to do evil. And the record of history bears eloquent and, I would say, chilling testimony to the fact that we humans have, of our own free will, actualized the reality of evil through our choices. But without choice, love is rendered meaningless. God neither forces his love on people nor forces people to love him. Instead, God, the supreme exemplar of love, created us with freedom of choice, and without that kind of freedom, we would be little more than pre-programmed robots. Now, why do I bring that up in context of your comments? It is because the fact that God created the potential for evil by granting us freedom of choice, that will ultimately lead us to the best of all possible worlds, a world in which there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Those who choose Christ will be redeemed from evil by his goodness and will forever be able not to sin. In the meantime, we can't project any kind of a panacea sometime in the future where people will embrace Christian theism, a biblical worldview. What we can do is be fruitful. What we can do is be faithful and trust that as salt and light, we can redeem society. You would think that if indeed there are as many Christians in America as there are people who actually profess to be Christians, a pound of salt in a glass of water would make that water very salty. But the reality is, the salt has lost its saltiness, just as Jesus said. And if it does, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. The reason that evil prospers, the reason that heresy advances, is because orthodoxy is retreating. I have read just today in a number of different magazines about the capitulation in the Christian church. I'm talking about mega churches that bear the label evangelical. The retreat from orthodoxy on same-sex marriage, on abortion. Because now truth is no longer determined by objective mores, objective ethos, but rather by the size and scope of the latest lobby group. Christians have unfortunately become politically correct. And as a result of that, the culture continues to devolve. And quite frankly, while my friend Oz Guinness believes there can be renaissance, that renaissance will not take place unless Christians like you, Dennis, stand up and be counted. We're a body. We have many members, and these members do not all have the same function. I can't do what you can do. You can't do what I can do. But together, if we exercise our gifts as God has entrusted them to us, We can turn the world upside down, and I would agree with the point that you made. I would underscore the point that you had made. From that perspective, we can as yet make a difference. But it's going to take a lot of people standing together, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. When I see the problems in the West, I also see the problems in the global South. I'm going back there in a few weeks' time to spend a few days training missionaries. And you know what they are now reporting to me? I'm talking about boots on the ground all over Asia, sub-Saharan Africa, Oceania, Latin America. You know what they are now reporting to me? Their greatest concern is the prosperity gospel. Converts coming out of bondage to animism, ancestor worship, Buddhism, animism. You can multiply the isms. They are just being freed from bondage. And then here comes a sub-biblical notion that entices them to come to the master's table, not for the love of the master, but because of what is on the master's table. And guess what happens? They embrace a gospel that overpromises and underperforms, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not one by which you can get something. It's a gospel by which you can experience someone. And I see prisoners in chains without an ounce of self-pity, experiencing joy in shackles. Why? Because the spiritual shackles have fallen off. And they're now experiencing an uncreated energy. They are experiencing the dunamis of Christ that has interpenetrated their lives. And so now they make a difference with joy in the prison, and they're comfortable with God's economy. And I think that's what's missing in what is now being transported to those who have just come out of shackles, a prosperity gospel, an Americanized version of Christianity. It's why we do the kind of work we do, not only in the West, but in the global South, where millions upon millions of people are professing Christ, but they're like tumbleweed with no root. And I've asked myself the question, if not us, who? If not CRI, who else is going to answer the call? It's why we have initiated a Going Global initiative, catalyzing and resourcing the largest apologetics initiative in history. And quite frankly, it's why I'm asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. It's a battle that rages in the West. It's a battle that rages in the global South. It's a global issue. We can no longer sit by idly as the smoke wafts over the crematoriums. We must stand up, shoulder to shoulder, together, in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back with more answers. Stay tuned.
In the new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, you'll discover the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible, and explore unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. Hank Hanegraaff says this enjoyable and persuasive high-quality film presents scientific discoveries, not mere conjecture, that point overwhelmingly to an ultra-fine-tuned universe as the handiwork of a super-intellect. Anyone watching will know there is a creator. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for Apple as well as Android devices, so you can listen to the broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also listen to 3-minute Ask Hank features and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app free from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org and download the Equip app for your phone or handheld device today. Again, that's equip.org. The Equip app is compatible with iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and Android devices. Bill Nye, the science guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. This, then, is the climax of divine revelation, God with us. The infinite has progressively revealed himself in accordance with our finitude. Thus, prior to Emmanuel, general and special revelation revealed his glory. But in the incarnation, we have seen his glory. Thus writes Hank Hanegraaff in his book, Incarnation, the Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. In short, God's incarnation in human flesh is the apex of revelation, his last word. In taking on human flesh, God gives us more than the clearest image of who he is. He gives us himself. To receive your copy of Incarnation as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Are humans the accidental products of a blind and uncaring universe? Or are they the beneficiaries of a cosmic order that was planned beforehand to help them flourish? Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life is a new documentary film that explores growing evidence from physics, chemistry, and biology that our universe is exquisitely fine-tuned to support intelligent beings like ourselves. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And just a quick program note for everybody listening in. I'm going to stay in studio for an extra hour once we go off the air at the end of this segment today. So if you want to ask your question after the end of today's show, all you need do is call 888-ASK-HANK. That numerically is 888-275-4265. So I'll be right here for an extra hour once the show is completed. Continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on at that time, I'll get to you. If you're dialing in, I'll try to get to you as well. Again, the number 888-ASK-HANK. Back to the phone lines, Mary in Modesto, California, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I just wanted to say amen and amen to everything you said before you went to break.
Mm.
I am also a supporter, automated every month for you.
Oh, bless
and
you.
I know God has blessed you greatly because of all the wonderful kids that he's given you. I just wanted to make a statement to say that I am a survivor of abortion. And my mother told me this on her deathbed to clear her conscience, I'm sure. So obviously it's a special day for me and a special issue. And I think you're right about we must not give in to apathy on this issue or on any of issues that are important to God should be important to us. And so it's a personal responsibility. And I talk with so many people about it. I wear buttons and T-shirts for pro-life everywhere I go, and it brings conversation to people. And it's in God's hand, and I think he's turning it. He's actually turning it. I see a lot of hope.
Yes, wonderful. Wonderful. What a testimony. And you know, it's so much more moving, you know, when you talk to someone like yourself. You know, I can talk about 60 million people who have been aborted worldwide just this year, and that becomes a big statistic. But when I talk to someone like you, that statistic now takes on flesh.
Yes, and also my little brother was an attempted abortion, and so it is a very personal issue. It is a gift from God. If we don't care about life, there's nothing else that we are to care about. So it is the most important issue, I think, in God's world. And should be in ours.
Yeah, no question, Mary. I mean, you couldn't have said it better. It's foundational. I've often said that if you want to look at the foundation of all of human civilization, it's the life issue. On that foundation are major building blocks, marriage certainly being a principal foundation, a block, human government, a principal building block, the church, a principal building block. But foundational to all of it is precisely what you say, human life.
Yes, and I find it quite humorous, too, because I'm kind of outspoken about it, and I have stickers on the back of my car for pro-life and to support pregnancy centers, etc. And the people that come behind me, I see them in my rearview mirror. Some of them look and are very, you know, supportive, and some have to go around you because they can't stand to look at it. But they have to think about it. That's the most important thing. We have to think first and then act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, well,
and thank you very much, Hank, for all your service to the Lord, and he's blessed you greatly, like I said, with all your children. So I do appreciate you, and we'll continue to support you, Hank. Thank you so much.
Well, bless you. Thank you for your call. You have made my day. You know, it's kind of interesting, as Mary was talking about my children, and I was listening to a Baptist preacher, Buzz Thomas, who was judging those like Kathy and I who have more than two children as being not only selfish, but sinful. And there are myriad factors that I don't think he's considering with respect to the size of a family. Whether one has two or 12 children is less important than whether those children grow up to be selfless producers as opposed to merely selfish consumers. So there are many ways in which people are now talking about family size as though there's some limit on that, and that if you exceed the limit that they have in their own perception, then you're selfish and sinful. Even Pope Francis said the other day that women shouldn't be multiplying like rabbits. But when I look at children that are growing up in the fear and knowledge of the Lord and are making a difference in society, I think what a blessing. Not just selfish consumers, but selfless producers enriching the lives of others. So we tend to fall for a lot of the politically correct patter that goes around. And that is why it's so transcendently important for us to learn discernment skills. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Denise next in Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Hank. I just had a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it ever biblical or appropriate for
for a believer to feel so strongly about his or her faith that they literally invite satanic or demonic attack to come to them?
No. I mean, it's just preposterous. What we do is follow the injunction of the Apostle Paul, who said, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then we put on the full armor of God so that we can resist principalities and powers of darkness, but so we can likewise resist the world and the devil. And let me say that it's not even our job to try to figure out whether it's Satan at the door or the world or the flesh tempting us. The issue for all of us is to put on the full armor of God, because if we do, we are, well, we are invincible in spiritual warfare, and if we do not, we're guaranteed casualties.
Okay, and that was the only question that I had. I just wanted to see what your opinion was or what your feeling was about that.
Ludicrous and preposterous.
Okay. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Mike in Willow Spring, North Carolina, WTRU. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Hank. Good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
My question is regarding the beast and the false prophet of Revelation.
Yeah.
And I know there's a lot of folks that try to identify a person or a man as the beast and the false prophet, but isn't it likely that the beast is the world system of things, the kingdom of this world as opposed to the kingdom of heaven? The ones that are executing this assault on Christianity, the world system, and the false prophet, we know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the way, the truth, and the life. So couldn't we say that any other religion or belief system that opposes or contradicts that or doesn't confess it, it's a lie, it's a false prophet?
Yeah, I think you could say that in a general sense. Certainly Revelation is talking about an individual. John says that with wisdom and understanding, you can identify the number of the beast and the number of his name. The false prophet is likewise identifiable, but in a general sense, what you are saying is true. You know, in his epistles, John talks about Antichrist. He doesn't use the word in the book of Revelation, but in his epistles, he does. And he says precisely what you're saying, that Antichrist is anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And that can be an institution, as you have correctly noted. It can also be an individual. And those individuals and institutions are there in every single epic of Christ. They are against Christ and as such are Antichrist. The beast in Revelation, however, is a parody of the Lamb. The Lamb, of course, is Jesus Christ. The beast is that institution and individual that seeks to rub out the body of Christ. And in the Revelation context, that body of Christ is in a limited geographic area as such. And so this is an epic tribulation that the body of Christ is going to endure vis-a-vis the false prophet and the beast. But if they're fruitful and faithful, they will have an eternal reward. And they will not only just know that they're going to go to heaven someday, but they can even then experience in their epic of time, like we in ours, they can experience the indwelling Christ. They can be, as Peter put it, partakers of the divine nature.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Satan will try to set up his false depiction of trying to copy the Trinity.
Yes.
There's no begotten son of Satan, because Satan is a created being.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ is God. Thank you. Yeah, that helps, Hank. And I don't want to take up too much time because I know it's limited, but if I may, I'd just like to get your quick thoughts on the recent military pact between Russia and Iran and Ezekiel 38.
Yeah, I can answer that quickly. The Bible isn't dealing with anything that's happening in the 21st century except by implication or by principle and precept. So Ezekiel 38 has nothing whatsoever to do with Russia making a pact with Iran in the present epoch of time. And in fact, you know, the irony is that have a modern sensationalist or prophecy pundit hear the word Rosh, it sounds enough like Russia to implicate Russia as the northern kingdom attacking Israel. This is simply ludicrous. I mean, Russia is an 11th century Viking word, and Rosh in terms of its etymology, has nothing whatsoever to do with Russia. And so this is part of the kind of sensationalism and sophistry that is being communicated via the radio airwaves and television airwaves by, unfortunately, Christians. And it became makes the Christian faith a mockery.
Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call, and I agree with everything you said about the body of Christ needs to shine its light, and I pray that this country and the rest of the world, it's behaving very much, very similarly to Israel and Jeremiah.
Oh, that's right. That's a good point. Well, we are with that word at the end of this broadcast. I mentioned at the beginning of this segment, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. We'll continue taking your calls, answering your questions. Some of you hanging on, I'll get to you. Others calling in for the next hour, keep dialing 888-ASK-HANK, and I'll keep answering again for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. And as we close the broadcast, my thank you once again to those who stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. 48 people have joined the monthly Bible Answer Man support team as regular givers already this month. We are deeply grateful. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Well, far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. An infinite God reduced to the size of a human embryo, the creator of time and space, invading both in human form? Such is the mystery and the majesty of the Incarnation, supreme being condescending to become one of us. Perhaps nothing is more important than grasping the significance of the coming God in human flesh. Without the life, death, and resurrection of the incarnate one who walked among us, our world would be unfathomably dark. To be equipped as a witness and to be inspired in your walk, you'll want to feast on Hank Hanegraaff's book, Incarnation: The Ultimate Self-Revelation of God. To receive your copy of Incarnation, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org.